Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Reverend Run is here tonight. You probably know him best from the legendary pioneering rap group Run DMC. Reverend has himself a new CD, which is coming out today, called Distortion. Welcome to the show, Reverend.
Thank you, thank you. Happy to be here.
We call you Reverend?
Rev. Like a shortening.
First off, I didn't know your brother was Russell Simmons.
You didn't know that?
No. I probably heard it. I probably saw it. At some point, it just didn't put it together. Yeah.
Sticking today.
Yeah, that's nice. Your mom must be proud.
Yeah, she passed some years ago, but I'm sure she's proud.
Well, being a man of faith, she's somewhere looking down and smiling.
That's why I said she's...
Were you always... I mean, you weren't a reverend in Run DMC days.
No. I became a reverend.
When?
92 or 93.
How do you do that?
I was just trying to go to church. I was at the top of my career. I just felt a little empty. Like, is this it? Do you just chase more? Is it?
Right.
I didn't have a balance. It was like more. Okay, more girls. Okay, more.
Right.
More money. More. I thought it was about winning, and that's all it was about. So I was like,
yeah,
there's got to be more to life than this.
And there's got to be more than more.
Right. And so I went to church to find spirituality. What else is going on? And I'm an intense person anyway, so I found the biggest Bible I could find. I just wanted to do it perfect. So I ended up getting this thing wrapped around my neck, and now they call me Reverend Run because...
Priest collar is what you're referring to.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing, which is when you're sort of on the way up, you always have a goal or a carrot or something dangling out in front of you. It's just your goal. Mm-hmm. You want to get to the next level. And then at a certain point, you get enough crap, you get enough money, you get enough cars, you get enough whatever, and you just keep going, but it doesn't become so gratifying. In a way, it's like what happens with drugs. It's enjoyable at the beginning. It feels good. And at a certain point, you just have to do them. You don't enjoy
sex
them
too.
Anymore.
Sex addiction.
I don't know about that.
But yeah. No, but you can get. You can run to that.
Hypothetically, yeah. I mean, I could see where a guy could do that, but not.
But it absolutely is the case. I talk to people all the time who have lots of money and things who all of a sudden feel empty and start thinking, how can I be of service? How can I give back? And that's sort of.
But I was young. I didn't even think of that.
You did later, though.
Yeah, I figured it out. I ran into that wall, and now I'm just addicted to God.
Well,
I found a balance.
How much success? How old were you when Run DMC got started?
It was 83. I guess I was 17, 18 years old, and it was exploded, huge.
You guys
big.
Had huge success within the first couple of years.
Yeah, very big success playing from maybe a club straight to the Garden.
What year was, you know, the Walk This Way stuff?
86.
Aerosmith. So you guys only been together a couple of years.
We started in 86. It blew. 83, we had an album. 84, we had two albums before Raising Hell, before the Walk This Way. But we had two rock records, which was Rockbox and then King of Rock and then... Finally, Raising Hell was ready.
So you were just 20 or so when things start blowing up.
Yeah.
And after 15 years of that, you just realized you wanted there needed
to be
more.
I remember the day I was got to L.A., which was important for me, L.A., the best weed, the best girls. It was just, you know, like, wow, this is great, best weather. And I was I got my presidential suite. And I said, this is good. And I called the guy Quasi, who used to be out here, and it got all the Rolls Royces you could rent and stuff. So I was renting a Rolls Royce, and I was calling from the jacuzzi in the room, mm-hmm. and I called.
This is Drew's story too, this, by the way.
So I'm in the jacuzzi,
a little more
and I
weed,
call. Yeah. I call for the Rolls Royce, and I call for the person to give me a haircut, and I call for the girl, and I call for the weed, and I had food coming to the room all at one time, and Rolling Stone magazine was coming to the room. So at one time, everybody was knocking on the door, but I was eating French toast because mm-hmm. I was trying to get the best food in my mouth and the weed. So there was syrup time. Falling in the tub, right. ashes falling in the tub. Quasi was at the door with the Rolls Royce. The girl was at the door.
Right.
I tried more.
Right.
And I sat there and I was laughing, but not really laughing, kind of crying, laughing like, this is ridiculous that the syrup is falling in the tub with the weed ashes and the Rolls Royce person and Rolling Stone wants to do an interview. And I had all that going on at one moment and I'm sitting in this big room trying to roll the, and I realized I'm trying to do it all at once.
Right.
I kind of came to a reality that this is, I got to do something else. So I slowly, you know, tried to ease back off of just that more vibe and then kind of crashed and just went to church and became a parishioner and then an usher,
really?
A deacon, a walking right. deacon, a minister. And now I'm a father in the church because I had to get to that place. Now I have the balance. I can have it all. I got my show on MTV.
Yeah.
Successes.
Thursday nights, 10:30, by
again.
The way.
Yes.
New CD coming out today.
It's doing well in ratings. It just came out and it beat everybody in that same time period.
But a man of the cloth doesn't care about beating
people. Yeah, I do
people.
Care. Yes.
Oh, wait a minute.
I do. What I happened? Have a balance now.
That's right.
I understand. Winning. The balance yeah. is that mm-hmm. I can win and not have to... I'm not looking to be a pauper.
Right.
I want to win, but I have a balance. I understand it better. This time around, I like that song, John Legend. This time we'll take it slow. So I'm taking it slow and enjoying it. And I read the book, The Power of Now, and all that good stuff. I'm like a yogi, and I read lots of books, and I have a balance.
Good. We'll impart some of that wisdom on our young callers who don't have any balance. I can assure you of that. Amy?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
This is actually a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
When I guess I was about 16, I had just stopped getting my period altogether, and mm-hmm. They ran tests and everything, and they said I had a slight hormone imbalance, so mm-hmm. I was put on birth control to regulate it.
Right.
And my parents told me I was on it for I guess about a year and a half, and my parents told me to stop taking it because it was causing me to gain weight.
Uh-huh.
And so I stopped taking it, and that was probably, I guess, January
get to the question
last
here.
Year.
What is the question, Amy?
Well, I was wondering if I haven't gotten my period, if that would affect me having children later on.
You need, it's not having your period has nothing to do with fertility. It doesn't cause fertility problems not having your period. For instance, people now will often go for many, many months on birth control pill without menstruating. They're designed to go that way.
But you can't get pregnant during that time when you're not having your period.
Right. But the question is, does whatever is causing your lack of period have an influence on fertility? Are you overweight?
Yeah, a little bit.
How much do you weigh?
I'm like 5'10", I'm about like 180.
All right. So just bringing the weight down may cause
your second. Hold on, let me do a little quick radio math there. 5'10", 180.
Which way is she going on the height, up or down?
She's heading down. But don't interrupt, please. 1 and 8 is what, Drew?
9.
9 and 9 and 1 is what?
10.
But 1 times 9 is still
10? Still 9.
Still 9.
That's right.
Okay, so 9 and 1 is 10, but 1 times 9, 10?
Yeah.
10?
Yeah. No, it's 9. 9.
9
is 1 time.
Okay, you said 10 before.
No.
Okay. And then 9 and 0 is still 0, right?
9 times 0. 0 times.
9 oh,
okay.
and 0.
Nine, 0 times.
9 times. 0 times 9 is still 9.
No, it's 0. 0 times.
Okay.
Like Adam, 0 times.
9 times. Okay. But if you put the 0 behind the 9, then you got 900. Oh, mm-hmm. 90. That's 90. Okay. Okay. I figured it out. It's 5'9".
Ooh, she's 5'9". Good.
And 3:30 seconds.
Ooh.
Just made it to 5'9". I'll break it down metrically in a minute. And she's 191. So she's a little bit heavy. Amy?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Amy, sometimes excess adipose tissue will cause suppression of
being a little overweight.
Yeah. And also being overweight is a sign of something called polycystic ovarian disease. You need a workup. You need to go back to the gynecologist and figure out what the issue is here. And sometimes people can have...
I actually had a pap smear and they said everything looked okay.
Yeah, that's not a pap smear. You need to go back and have an evaluation for something called oligomenorrhea. It's not a pap smear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a series of blood tests. And it's the third alternative is something called hypothalamic pituitary dysfunction, then the endometriosis, ovarian cysts. There are other things that needs to be sorted out and then a plan created. And some of these things have fertility issues. Some of them don't.
All right. Boring. Let me say this. I know we're living out here in sunny Southern California. And, you know, we're a lot of Hollywood types and stuff. But we talk to people frequently, women especially. They're 180. And if they're 185 if they're an ounce, when you say you're 180 over the radio. And they're like, they describe themselves 180, 190, but proportion. Yeah.
No, I'm a little bit.
I got a little extra weight on me.
Curvy. Curvy.
Yeah. Maybe 50 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean.
In terms of health, 50 pounds.
You're carrying a small, a mini refrigerator worth of just sort of extra you.
A mini me.
Yeah. You really are. It's like a dwarf has been strapped to your inner thigh.
And that affects all kinds of things. Blood pressure, lipid metabolism, cardiovascular health,
and
cycling in women.
The other thing is, too, is if you're 20 years old and dragging around an extra 50 pounds, it's not going to be pretty when you're 40.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Things slow down a little bit. All right. Linda?
Yes.
24.
Yes. What's up?
Well, I'm about to move in with my boyfriend. We've been together for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of stopped having sex. Like, we maybe have once a week. And
you're fat. Hang on a second. That's not stopping.
Well,
once a week is sort of a normal rate.
Yeah, but he's not pleasing me at all. Like, it's literally 2 minutes.
So he's not paying attention.
He's not. Yeah.
He's not into it.
He's drifted off.
Right?
Well, yeah. And I've talked to him about it, and he just says that basically he feels like he doesn't please me, so that's why he's not doing anything. Which
I mean,
he
can't please you because he's a bad guy or something, and he feels bad about himself, and therefore he's not going to make the effort? What are you talking about?
No, he feels like he doesn't please me. I don't know. Because
all right, Linda,
this
guy sounds like just a wonderful human, and why wouldn't you move in now that you've wasted a couple of years with him? This is not a non-relationship. What are you talking about?
Well, okay. Ever since we've been having sex, he goes really fast. And yeah. I don't know what the cause of that would be.
That's him.
Okay, hold on a second. When did people in this country, they sort of kept speaking English, but they can't communicate anymore.
Right,
It's a weird thing. Now, it's strange. We have a country filled with people that speak the language, except for they might as well just speak Japanese because it takes 20 minutes to get anything out of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
First, this guy, sex is no good anymore because we never have sex, except for we have sex once a week, except for he goes really fast, except for he's always gone really fast.
And except he doesn't want to pay attention to me, except he's always been that way. Right?
Yeah. I guess. Linda?
Yeah.
What's up with you? Junior college?
There's just so much.
Junior college?
Are you're an abuse survivor?
Am I what?
An abuse survivor of some type?
No.
You've never been to junior college?
No, I have been to junior college. I graduated
I smell it. Yeah. I can smell junior college on people.
What do you mean there's just so much? What does that mean?
Because you guys said that I'm all over the place, and I am.
Well, what's going on in your life beside this?
Just school and work. That's it.
All right, baby. Well, what are you going to do?
Well, why don't you focus on that? You don't need this guy around necessarily. If this isn't working and you can't communicate about things, you're sort of angry with him because of his biology, and he doesn't seem to work with you.
It's been 3 years. Why don't you guys just scrap it?
Is it normal for somebody, he can't last long? Is that normal?
Yes, that is normal for many guys. There's actually so normal that there's a medication coming out probably in about 6 months that specifically will address that.
Yeah.
And it's something that most people, when they're in an intimate relationship, when they actually care about one another, kind of work that out so it becomes less of an issue.
Does he give you oral sex?
No, not anymore.
See, that's he doesn't right. care.
He's just on autopilot.
Yeah, and that's what bothers me.
You've been together for 3 years. Now you're going to move in together, and he stopped caring a couple of years ago. So you get yourself a better man.
Or somebody actually cares about you and is concerned and whom you can communicate with and sort of share. Relationships have to go both ways. All right,
Linda.
It's not working.
Right.
Just be aware. Okay. It's just not working.
Look.
Do what you got to do.
I'm really curious. Life is so confusing for some people. They just have no idea. They have no idea how people work. They have no idea how they work.
It was parents'
night
at school tonight.
Parents' night.
Went to all my kids' teachers and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Impressive.
How was that?
It's impressive.
Impressive for who?
To see what seventh graders got to suck up these days. And how different it is than many of my colleagues.
You think all this can just be taught at school.
No, I don't. You're right.
I think it has to be. Some of it is intuitive. Some of it is just nature and nurture.
Well, really, the bottom line is having stable relationships in families.
Yeah.
So you can then translate that to stable relationships with your peers.
Model it,
yeah.
It's just a lot of people.
Or a community or church or other
as a priest myself, I think that my job is to tell you, you may now kiss the bride.
Right.
And you may now kiss the bride means you shouldn't have been kissing the bride before I say now. So
right.
Being on this show and hearing this stuff with the teachings that I have found is that it's more healthy to just court and find one wife, engage and get married and live this
simple life
that is prescribed. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we're not mature enough to a sexual relationship. It can really mess up your life, jumping from partner to partner and having sex and it, you know.
Or even Linda, we just talked to her. She was probably stuck in that relationship because they been having sex together.
Yeah.
She didn't. They don't care, but she's in. She's so in. She can't get out. Right.
And you pull. And a lot of times, women aren't really. They just want a hug. They're not. They're just satisfied with a good long hug, and it just gets confusing when you bring sex into it early before you get married.
Well, here's the thing. Most people need a few years where they maybe where they're single, maybe where they don't have sex, where they get to get something done and find themselves and do a little soul searching or whatever cliche you want to put in front of it. But a little time off is good.
Mm.
And if you're an attractive young woman who lives out in Southern California or anywhere in any city, you're just going to go from guy to guy to guy to guy. Before you know it, you're going to look in the mirror, you're going to be 38 years old and realize you've never had a month off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you don't know who you are because you're only who you are to these men.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you are, is sort of doing a presentation for these guys. And as weird as it sounds, it's probably good to have a daughter who is, you don't want her maimed in a construction accident or industrial fire or something, but have someone that's not so piping hot that she gets a couple of months off here and there. It's not all about the guys constantly, because I don't know how you turn your back on that when it's available. It's hard to pull that girl out and go, listen, sweetie, you're 19. Just cool your jets for a couple of years. Focus on school. Focus on your faith. Focus on your family. Screw that. I got every guy on the football team knocking on my door.
That's where discipline comes in and teaching and just, you know, learning about life, following the protocol of the way it's supposed to be done. I mean, I didn't do this either. I was on the road, Run DMC, running amok. But when I found out all these things later, I was like, wow, I wish I was brought up in a way that would have followed it kind of biblically. I wish I could have, you know, held my seed and did all those great things. Because I feel good about the way I live my life now.
Do you find young people, though, going, well, you did it, why can't I?
No, I don't judge. I'm like a yogi. I kind of sit and smile and watch everybody do whatever they want. And I'm very happy.
All I do is judge.
Yeah, I don't.
When you said I don't judge, I just judged you for not judging.
But
I don't
really
want to say what I thought, but it was a judgment.
I'm the reverend, rapping reverend guy. So you look at me like, how do you, you know, balance that? So my thing is, I'm always have a good time. You're enjoying it. This is great. You know, because the world, the universe already has its, you know, way. It's all set up to give you It does its thing.
Well, people do that thing where they went like, well, you did this, but it's the same with like drugs. So what? Somebody smoked pot or did coke or whatever. They're telling you it's bad. You can have a problem with it. You can get strung out.
Let them take their path.
Why not listen to them?
Right.
You know what I mean? What do you want?
I licked my finger stuck in a socket. It shocked me. Don't do it. I want to shock myself too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or why should I listen to you? You shocked yourself.
Yeah.
Like, well,
or the guy with AIDS
you.
Or something. Like, maybe I won't catch AIDS.
Right. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Let other people suffer a little bit and then learn from them. All right.
That's Adam's philosophy. Everybody else suffer.
Everyone suffer and I'll learn. Darren?
Hey, guys.
You're 25?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I'm glad to hear you guys are still on. I haven't called in about 8 years. But how you guys doing tonight?
Wow. We're good.
Good. We've been waiting. We haven't had any calls since you called last in 97.
Yeah, I didn't actually think so. Drew, I have a question. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. For the last probably 2 years, I cannot go to sleep or lay down and relax without like letting my body like go into a convulse. Like it convulses until like my heart rate and my breathing are down to normal to where I can actually fall asleep. And I noticed that caffeine really makes it doable.
I can't. I'm trying to figure out what you're describing.
It's like I'm anxious. And when I lay down, my heart rate is at a level that it takes about, like it takes a long time for me to fall asleep. And the only way for me to calm down is for, like, it feels like my nervous system is, like, is just snapping. So, like, my spine.
Stop interpreting what's happening. Describe to me what happens.
Okay, I'm shaking.
You have sudden shakes? You have, so your arm or your legs twitch or jump around kind of thing?
Feels like, yeah.
All right, exactly. That's normal. That's called, those are called myoclonic jerks. Those are myoclonic episodes as you head towards sleep.
Yep. I do it every night before I go to bed.
Yeah. You might have trouble during the night where it can be restlessness that persists. It can actually disrupt your sleep.
Oh, no. I'm in the bathroom.
Oh, I know. That's, well, I'm just saying. Or you could actually have a seizure disorder, but that needs to be evaluated. And this all sounds like it has a psychiatric base to it. Mm-hmm. Do you have a history of any drug use?
Yeah, definitely.
Huh?
Definitely.
Yeah. And so you are you still using?
No, I kind of stumbled through recovery. I noticed that this really started happening a couple years ago after a large exposure to cocaine.
Yeah, this stuff can happen from
drug.
Did you do a bunch of LSD or ecstasy?
No, hardly. No, not at all. Hardly.
Why? How much?
Hardly any or not at all?
Once on both.
Okay.
How much coke did you expose yourself to?
In a 2 month period, like maybe like 4 times a week, I was doing it.
Mm. Well, cocaine is the most likely drug to induce seizure disorders. So,
really?
Yeah. So I would actually go see a neurologist and see if there's anything to this. And there may be sort of
What about speed? More than speed?
In terms of seizures, more than speed. Cocaine
really?
Is the number one.
Even the good stuff?
Even the good stuff.
Wow.
And there may be other things from a psychiatric perspective that can be dealt with to help you with the sleep and anxiety and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Not benzodiazepines, not the Valium class, not for you.
People still doing coke, I found out.
It's back, too.
It's back.
It's some popularity.
Really?
It's many campuses. It's the number.
Is it?
Number two. Number three, rather.
Mm. Number three.
Pot, alcohol, cocaine. No, yeah.
Oh, really? Mm. Oh, come on. You can't count booze, man. Pot, alcohol. Don't count booze. Why do you got to do that to
booze?
You're
offending the reverent sensibility.
No, I'm fine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really, like, sitting here just enjoying all of this.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Rev Run is here tonight.
Distortion.
That's the name of the CD. We're going to hear something off of the new CD, which came out today. We will also want to tell everyone the Adam Carolla Project on TLC tonight. Good episode.
Mm.
One of the best, I would say.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What happens?
Oh, man. Take Ozzy to a speech coach. Take the boys to the spa. We get all our tools ripped off. Lots of good stuff going on this week on TLC. That's on right now. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
If you need help, hang up and then dial.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Rev Run is here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know Rev Run from Run DMC, legendary rap group. He's changed his ways.
Yes.
He's become a man of the cloth.
Mm-hmm.
He sees the error of his ways.
Yes.
But he hasn't stopped rapping.
No, I like rapping.
Right.
It's just poetry.
Yeah, nothing the Bible says you can't rap.
No, he never would say that.
I mean, not that would know about rap, you know, that far back, but still, you know.
There were poets.
Yeah.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
Psalms and the Proverbs. It was poetry.
Yeah. Well, here's something off the new CD, Distortion, which came out today. And we'll take one call, and then we'll hear a new song from Rev Run. Angie?
Oh, hello.
21?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I'm calling because I had an interaction with my ex-boyfriend a week and a half ago, and I just don't know what to make of it.
All right.
Let's try to sort it out. What happened?
All right, well... he came over around 9 a.m., like a week and a half ago on Wednesday, and he was completely coked out, and he told me, you know, he was telling me that he loved me, and he wanted to get back together with me, and it's just so hard for me because I really want to believe him, but he can't seem to ever straighten up and get over this entire coke addiction, and I just don't know what to do about it.
Well, what's so confusing about the drug addict cokehead coming over at weird hours and making strange requests? And
undoubtedly asking
that
for money, too.
That he does every time.
Yeah.
What's confusing?
What's confusing is that you're confused.
Yeah, that's a confusing part.
It's just, I find it so hard to get over him, and I'm just so mad at myself because I really want to get over him, and I can't.
Can I hear a smoke detector way off in the distance?
Would you like a little bit of background? So,
I've got your background already nailed with your drug addict dad.
Speaking of the background, what are you doing over there? You're resurfacing the kitchen cabinets? What's going on?
Right now,
what's all the activity?
I stepped outside for a second because I'm...
Well, go use the door next time. Don't go through a hole in the wall.
Huh? Sorry,
okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
You having a smoke?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you had an addicted parent, undoubtedly.
No.
You must have. There are sick parents. Yeah. Something to be this codependent and recurrent, you have to keep going back to or else you're abused. Those are sort of your possibilities.
Dad is a rocket scientist, and my mom is a high school Spanish teacher.
Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that your dad's a rocket scientist. All right, Angie? I think I knew that already.
But it's not what they do. I'm not what they do I'm concerned with. It's who they, you know, what pathologies
they're
the alcoholic or something that makes you so codependent that you can't extract yourself from a dysfunctional relationship.
Yeah, you only meet yourself.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Heavy.
So what's the deal? What's the drill?
I'm guessing that you can probably pin that on my mom.
Okay.
And she just has really bad anxiety disorder, and she moved here with my dad right after they got married, and she's from Puerto Rico originally. And she had no friends, and she didn't have anyone to speak Spanish to, and she really much kept to herself.
Angie, you're making a whole bunch of excuses to tell us something about your mom. Just tell us that something about her.
She's just dependent on my dad, period.
Does she take pills for her anxiety?
She can't survive without my father.
How does she teach school with her language barrier?
She teaches Spanish.
To people that speak Spanish?
How do you speak? You know, those people speak Spanish. She never taught me Spanish, but she's a Spanish teacher.
I know, but there's a certain point where you have to go, arroz con pollo. That means rice and chicken. You can't just keep speaking in Spanish to teach people Spanish. You have to tell them what stuff means in English, right?
Right.
So she speaks English?
She speaks English.
Okay. So you're saying her dependency was something you've modeled in your relationship with men?
Correct.
There's more than that.
That's the only thing I learned in Spanish, by the way.
I liked it. I thought you was fluent. Broke that down.
I learned arroz con pollo. That's chicken with rice. And I also learned that my name was Paco. Mi amo es Paco. And I'm like, so I'm Paco? Yeah.
Wow.
So if I go to Mexico, I become Paco? Or what? Can I say mi amo es Adam? No.
It's Paco.
You sound like a Jew. We're going Mexican. Paco. All right. No, it's not mi llamo. Jackass, it's Miyamo. Thank you. That's what I learned. It's
so
two L's.
You were saying Malamo? Malamo?
Well, you see a couple L's.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Right.
We think llama starts with a Y.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, yeah.
Two L's in llama, right?
I believe so.
Two L's.
That's a weird word. We need two L's in llama?
That's why they change it to apaka-paka.
Oh, yeah. Why do we need two L's in llama? And then if you see two L's, shouldn't you be saying Yamo?
You should be saying LL Cool J.
LL, yeah. That's another 2L. He only needs 1L.
That's the only thing that comes to my mind. Sorry.
Angie?
Yes.
Okay, so things are going on with you. I would break up with this guy.
Oh, I'm already broken up with him.
Okay.
Well, because I just ended up getting myself in a mess of just relationships. And,
Look, baby, you need drama. It's clear.
Right. Well, you've got boundary issues. You get infatuated with these guys that are terribly ill, and you've got to fix them.
Yeah.
And, that's your idea of love. You feel in love with the person that's broken.
And what do you think attraction is, after all, for so many women? It's attraction.
Men do that too for sure.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Here's the thing. Men use their eyes quite a bit.
First, yeah.
Eyes first. And then whatever kicks in. Right. But eyes first. So if it ain't happening from the eyeballs, it just ain't happening. Women, they're all over the road when it comes to attraction. Mm-hmm. They're into a guy, and they always do, I don't know why, but I love him. I can't help it, or whatever. Most people, he's short, he's fat, he's bald, he's got a huge schnoz, he beats the crap out of him, but I love the guy. Well, yeah. What is that?
Yeah. Well,
what is that attract? That, and that's more powerful than anything else. Because even a guy who's really into a chick with the eyeballs eventually can get tired of whatever and keep moving. But that part, and that grabs you by the soul.
Yep, that's right.
And when you have that, it's hard to break away from it.
And that comes from your heritage. So something happened, and she's not given what that was, something with mom.
All right, well, listen, Angie.
Yes.
Let's focus on this.
I bet mom be the crap.
Physically abusive, mom?
Nope.
She never hit you?
Nope. Well, maybe like a couple times. And like my dad might have hit me a couple times, too. But that was all related to when I was younger, I was involved heavily in like gymnastics. Like,
eating disorder.
Like 6 till when I was like 13. I had an eating disorder, you're right.
Yeah. Everyone is in dance or gymnastics.
Now it's starting to fix.
Eating disorder.
It's starting to come into focus now. Mm-hmm. So
I had extremely low self esteem.
Well, here we go.
Now, here we go. That maybe that had to do with something. I was trying to find these guys who needed me.
Right. So in 3 minutes, we've covered some very, very serious emotional issues.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is chronic, an eating disorder. Another is esteem issue. Another is regulation issue. And another is trauma, physical abuse. And so this is stuff that takes years to treat and needs to be treated. So let's get it going.
All right.
If you want to start with Al-Anon, something free, that's fantastic. Do that. Get a 12-step process going, get a sponsor and go.
Yep.
Get a therapist if you want to do it that way. But let's get going. It's going to take some time. And in the meantime, moratorium on these a-holes.
Yeah, and the guys who are addicted to the cocaine are not going to let you off the hook until they've wrung you dry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially
with her, she's Play-Doh for him.
Yeah, yeah. There's a very, very fertile soil for him.
It's a Reverend Run song.
All right, let's do that. New CD, by the way, is called Distortion. It came out today. That is Tuesday. What is it, Drew? What are we at?
18th.
18th. And first song is called Mind on the Road.
I got my mind up in Boston, crossing back from Austin. 50 more tossed and calling so often. Gone from the alley, Cali to the valley. Ross to the Bowery, flying out to Maui. Up and down the highway, Monday. A town and I'm gone. Always on the road till my record's full blown. Living out my bag, but I'm never missing home. Papa was a rocker and I top priority. Rep seniority. Going on a road cause it's my priority. Oh, it's time for the show. Got my mind on the road. Yo, I got my mind on the road. And yo, it's time to go.
That's Rev Run, new CD, Distortion, sounding better than ever. Rev Run in studio tonight. We'll hear something else off the new CD, which came out today in the next hour. Take a quick break. When we come back, 22, Errol. Is that Errol, Drew?
That's what it looks like.
Been watching violent porn since he was 10. Wants to know about the negative side effects.
Mm.
Well, no one can pronounce your name. That's the number one negative side effect. Watch Errol.
Well, only somebody, parents who would name right. Errol would allow that to happen, sir.
We'll get to the bottom of him, his porn, his name, all that after this.
Love Line.
Okay, oh, wait. My hair. Oh.
We'll be right back.
Buddy, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rev Run is in here tonight from the legendary Run DMC. He's got a new CD out. It's called Distortion. First song sounded great. We'll hear another song off it in the 11 o'clock hour. And that is out as we speak. The Adam Carolla Project on TLC tonight. Good one. You want to watch that? It's on as we speak. But don't turn the radio off. Just turn that thing on.
The visual.
Yeah. Let's speak to Errol. Errol? How do you pronounce your name?
It's Errol. You had it right the first time.
Errol. E-R-R-I-L?
It's O-L, actually.
All right, there we go. Much right. better. Like Errol Flynn.
Yeah. Well, now it makes sense. Okay.
There's
what's
a
up?
Town in Scotland that grows strawberries there named Errol. Spanish, Adam. Terrible. It's not Me Llamo Es Paco. It's Me Llamo Paco because... Yeah,
you know,
just like saying, I call myself is Paco.
Oh, shut up! Have you called before?
No. Actually, I've been trying to call for probably 4 years and never gotten through. This first
Here
time.
We are. Okay.
That's so annoying, by the way.
What?
I just hate
Errol.
Yeah,
I get that a lot.
Yeah. Hold on,
Errol.
He's only on hold for 58 minutes, but I'm going to have to put him on hold for a few more
let's
minutes.
Just go to it. Come on.
No, I'm annoyed by him.
Right,
seizures during
one.
Sex?
Yeah,
talk to Angie?
Yeah.
I talk to someone who's having seizures. Angie?
Hi.
What happened, baby?
I'm just a little nervous.
All right. What's up?
Just do it!
I have seizures during sex.
What does that mean, seizures? What do you mean by that? By the way, this is part of your English rant a few minutes ago. As people use words, they have no idea what they mean, but they use them with great just ease.
Black out.
Yeah.
You black out, and what happens?
Seizures, like seizure world, like a man of seizure, right. Like when you're going to relax and
right.
you just want to enjoy yourself.
Your
seizure time, seizurely, uh-huh. I think it's called.
Actually, I've been told by a couple of people, like a couple guys I've been with, that I go real strange, like I start like thrashing around and
so you have a dissociative
against the wall and
those are usually pseudo seizures
what's
that's
up
that's a dissociative episode.
Angie,
so.
Something's going on with your voice too.
Yeah, tell us what the history
what
is.
What are you doing? Molested? What happened?
I've been
raped couple of times.
Yeah, but when that happened
when you're
under
a kid.
The, yeah, when it happened under the age of 10, we don't call that rape. We call that sexual abuse. Okay.
Well,
okay.
I was abused by my mom, but
physically abused?
Yeah.
Sexually abused?
No.
All right, let me say this. The more angry you are, the slower you talk and the slower you walk. You have angry people crossing in front of you when your car stopped. guy take 45 minutes just to pass in front of your car, the car 6 feet wide, just staring at you, giving that stink eye? We mother effer. You're all hot because you got a car. It's like, I'm just driving. You're jaywalking. I'm this close to running your ass over. Please, let's pick it up. That's my whole thing. Like I'd like to work with homeless people and teach them to jog. I'm not worried about teaching them work skills. I don't want to teach them how to get off the drugs, any of that stuff. I'm just teaching you guys how to jog when you hit the streets. I realize I always get angry people that are angry because you have to ring them for every syllable. Everything's that three Mississippi thing. Go ahead and ask a question, Drew. I'll show you what the angry people do.
Oh, Adam, why'd you get named Angie? Andy, what do you get?
Whatever. Just ask me with something that makes sense. Would you please?
Angie, where'd you get that name?
Go ahead.
Angie, where'd you get that name?
My mom.
And was your relationship with your mom okay?
Yeah.
She never abused you?
What? That's what it is. You just get angry and you realize how angry they are. But it's the equivalent to the guy crossing the street super slow.
Except with the evocation through language, they're trying to bring on some aggression. The guy walking across the street doesn't really want you to run him.
He kind of would like you to inch forward so he could give you the what the
right,
F.
Right.
What's going on, Angie? You pace it up a little, would you, sweetie pea? We didn't molest you, remember? That was somebody else. You can't be angry at everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I suppose you want to know, like, where's Dad, right? Dad's dead. Dad.
He's picking up speed.
Okay. All right, what happened
Angie,
to Dad?
All right, so let me just...
Never knew Dad. Dad's
okay.
Dead. What'd he die of?
He killed himself.
Okay, now we got stuff going on.
Whoa, now, wait a minute. Angie.
I never knew Dad. Dad split when I was...
Whoa,
like,
hold on, Angie. I've got something else going on with Angie here.
Whoa, what?
Do you ever have periods where you sort of like... other kinds of blackout experiences in your life where you like find clothing moved around and stuff like that, or things you don't remember doing? Angie?
Yeah.
You have stuff like that happen?
Hold on. I'm going to revise my rule to the 5 Mississippi rule. It was used to be the 3 Mississippi rule.
You flipped into...
I've had seizures. I've had dizzy spells and...
No.
Yeah, what about the multiple personality thing?
There's things about you that suggest a dissociative disorder. And in dissociative states.
I'm under treatment for depression. I'm on Lexapro.
Yeah, no, Angie. But I'm jumping to this, and people could sort of be critical of us jumping. But you have an abuse history. You have rape history. You have sexual abuse history. You describe these dissociative episodes when you're sexually active. I wonder if you have dissociative episodes, which means things you sort of black out, and maybe somebody else kind of takes over your body, and you do other things that are not typical of the Angie we're talking to right now. Anything like that ever happen?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not really.
Okay. Angie, let me just say, if there is another person trapped inside you that answers questions faster, could you put her on the line, please?
I mean, I write poetry. I write poetry and I write under other names sometimes, but I'm aware of that.
All right. Okay. So you don't have that. But you are describing dissociative episodes and pseudo-seizures. You ought to be evaluated for genuine seizures, which I suspect
baby doll.
And that's a very easy thing to rule out.
I've had a lot of EEG tests.
All right. Yeah.
You've had, okay, but you've been horribly abused in your life. It's time to take care of yourself. Get some help.
I'm still getting therapy and...
Good.
Nothing much has come out of it. My therapist just says, well, you've got chronic health problems because I'm under treatment for diabetes and high blood pressure and stuff. And
he
says, well, you've got chronic health problems and you need to deal with those and...
All right.
Accept those and get on with your life. And
Angie... But let me just tell you something.
It sounds like a bunch of ass.
You're 25 years old. You've had a hard enough life thus far. How about doing the best you can to make the rest of your life as good as you can make it?
And I think what your therapist is suggesting is keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Keep it easy.
You know what you need to do, Angie?
What?
You need to listen to classical music and exercise more. Yeah? I'm telling you, it'll make you right. It'll straighten you out. Get yourself like a Walkman, put on a little classical music, and start walking.
Instead of being like all pissed off at everybody?
Reverend, what would your advice be?
Yeah, instead of being pissed at everyone.
Hang on, let's hear another point of view.
Being mad at everybody. I don't... The whole pointing the finger thing, I'm not into, you know. I I'm personally into taking the blame for everything myself. Why did I draw this to me? I'm a metaphysician in a way. When you start pointing the finger, you get further away from yourself.
Right. Or further away from things you can do anything about.
Right. So for me, I'm always, it's all about me.
Yeah.
If I get sick, it's my fault. Everything that happens to me is my fault.
I'm not angry at God. I don't blame him for it.
No.
That's how
people,
you improve.
People are God too. Everything around you, you shouldn't blame anyone around you for anything. That's a rule of thumb for me. I take responsibility for everything that happens to me.
Well, it's how you get better. I think about it all the time. I'm watching my show silently up here with a bunch of horrible carpenters, and I realize the reason my horrible carpenters know so little after doing it for 20 to 25 years is every time something goes wrong, they blame somebody else, and they never internalize anything. And they always go, it's this guy's fault, there's that fault.
For some reason, you drew them to you,
yeah.
though.
Now, yeah, here's, well, that's a good point. I should blame myself for that. But here's, that's just bad karma. But here's the thing. If you get a D on a test, and at the end of the test you announce it's because the teacher hates you, then you'll never study harder.
Never improve. Exactly.
You'll never improve. You got the D because you got the D. You're going to have to work harder next time and study harder. Internalize it. That's how you get better. If you get fired every time and it's because your boss is a jerk or he's jealous, you're never going to improve.
You're
going to
keep running into more jealous jerks.
That's right. That's right. Fifth divorce, it's always the chick's fault. Right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rev Run is
yes.
here tonight from the legendary group, Run DMC. Almost, Drew.
What?
I'm just looking.
In the ears?
No, you know, I'm just looking at the little clay statuette of myself.
Oh, my God, its head's gone.
Now missing
what
the head. Well.
We don't know.
Looks like it was removed from... where it was, and it's now up on the shelf. I just noticed it up there.
Oh.
Somebody took a lot of time and a lot of effort and made me a lovely little figurine of myself, and the head has been removed, of course, not by myself. What is Drew?
First of all, I find it amusing, intriguing, mm-hmm. that you, who would have noticed a gnat farting in this room, didn't pick that up right away. It's weird.
Strange, yeah.
I knew that immediately. I thought it was like
that?
A dog. I just looked like...
Yeah.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah. That is weird that I didn't notice that.
You didn't see it, yeah.
I did get it eventually, but I'm so focused on you and Rev Run.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Rerun. Is Rerun around?
Rerun from
what's happening? Yeah.
I think Rerun passed. Yeah, I saw that in...
Just within the last year or so.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's a show that could get into syndication, be fine with me.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Like... I don't understand why I have to watch 10 million I Love Lucys and 10 million Brady Bunches,
right.
but I don't get to see any Partridge Families. And
I'd love to see Partridge
I like to see some Partridge Family, and I like to see some What's Happening.
Mm. I love that bus.
I like the Partridge Family bus. I like Raj and Haywood and whoever.
I like the original Danny.
Wow.
The original Danny Bonaduce.
The original Danny.
And then Mr. Kincaid. What was his name?
Mr. Kincaid.
Reuben Kincaid.
Wow. Mr. Kincaid.
Yeah. I could go Dave Madden, I think his name was, the actor. I go for watching him. You know, it's funny. There's certain shows that I could definitely watch, and they don't seem to show up. And then there's other shows that just never...
Yeah, they don't go away.
Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, it's like, I don't need to see Gilligan's Island. I don't see another I Love Lucy. I don't need to see another Brady Bunch. I do need to see some Partridge Family and...
What's Happening.
A little What's Happening,
I haven't seen McHale's Navy in a long time, though.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't be thrilled with that.
Oh, yeah.
Errol?
Yes.
Here we go.
22.
Okay. I was raised Mormon.
Hold on a second.
Fred Rerun Barry, died 10/23/03.
Wow.
Coming on right up on 2 years. Couldn't have been too old.
No.
Oh, it's a good dancer.
pop locking.
50 years old. 52. 52 years old. Huh. Go ahead, Errol.
Okay.
You a Mormon?
Oh, no, I'm not anymore. I was raised Mormon. I kind of fell away.
How is it that a devoted fan like Errol would respond to that drop?
Mm.
Go ahead. It just never fails.
Yeah, it's not Drew talking, but go ahead.
Okay. I was raised in a pretty strict household, and my father had a lot of pornography around when I was pretty
That's ironic.
Young. I ran into it, you know, pretty young, and I was fairly interested in it from a very young age.
Are you a Mormon?
I was, yeah.
Keep asking, Drew. Gonna get to the bottom of that. Hey, Errol, are you a virgin?
Yeah.
No. However, my first sexual foray was with an escort that I purchased after robbing a bank when I was 15 years old. And
what?
That was a pretty strange experience.
Kid's got moxie. I'll give him that.
You robbed a bank when you were 15?
I did. It's a long story, which I'm sure you don't have time for here on the radio.
No, I think I want to hear it.
Yeah, we have time.
Yeah,
for this one.
Well, really, what we have time for is for me to tell it, but not for you. So hurry.
All right. Well, I had a vicious dog next door to me when I was 14. I shot it. I had very small sisters who I was afraid it might kill. It had killed several of our chickens. So I shot the thing.
Well, what year are you calling from? The 30s? What goes on?
No.
Picture wearing knickers and one of those caps. Those caps.
Linen
holding
caps.
It. Yeah, yeah, taking it off when he's talking. Holding it with both hands when he apologizes. So you shot the neighbor's dog when you're 14.
Right, okay. So a cop showed up. He hauled me away for reckless endangerment because there were houses nearby. I was put in a cell with a rapist. I was pretty freaked out by that. I called my parents, had them bail me out. My parents owed a decent amount of money for poor folk to the bail bondsman. It took me about a year to pay off half of it. And my stepfather was getting pretty angry about the half that I hadn't paid. My mom, who was also very poor, offered to pay the other half off. I couldn't really stomach this, so I decided I was going to go find an alternate source of funding. That was robbing a bank. I did this. I got away with it. And 3 months later, with some of that money, I also purchased it.
How much money did you get?
I got about $4,000.
How did you rob the bank?
Very carefully.
With a gun?
No, I actually just wrote out a note to the teller telling her to give me the money, at which point I absconded with it and ran off with a car that I had borrowed from a yacht owner that I was employed by who was out of town and used the necessary portion of the money to pay back my stepfather, and the rest was, you know, dealt with as any 15-year-old would deal with it.
So you made $4,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like any 15-year-old would deal with it, like buying a prostitute?
I guess not any 15-year-old.
Right. Yeah, and I understand in your mind this has all gone off as a completely justified action given the inappropriately being called in jail for God knows just shooting at the neighbor's yard.
Dog.
Yeah, I understand. But
yeah, I know. You know. No, he knew he was shooting the dog.
The point is, this is beyond sociopathy. This is into psychopathy. This is like big time stuff.
I'm not proud of any of it.
I know, but what have you done anything else like this in your life?
Up to that point, no. And then after...
Oh, so yeah, up to the point when you started doing it. Yeah.
So up to the point when you had your first drink, you hadn't been drinking?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what that is, isn't it?
So patients always say all the time, too.
By the way...
I got the cancer. I never had cancer. Like,
Hitler never did anything bad until the point he got to the point where he started doing bad things.
Yeah.
So did everyone.
Action or behavior is, didn't happen until it started happening.
I know. What is that with people? I never had cancer before.
Yeah. I've been totally healthy my whole life. How could I have leukemia?
Yeah.
You didn't have it before.
You were. Now you have it. Yeah, that's how it works, everybody. All right, Errol. Wow. So What have you done since then?
Well,
any more crimes we need to know about?
Yes, of course.
No. I'm sorry. What was that?
Any more crimes?
What other crimes?
Serious ones?
Yeah.
Give us the whole list. I mean, your mind, serious, may not...
Well, I don't need the whole list. I just...
The next crime.
Errol sounds like an intelligent guy who's a sociopath and actually more dangerous than dumb people that are sociopaths because you can actually sort of rationalize what you're doing and talk your way around it.
Well, you're probably right there.
Now, I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with people that are sort of soulless, and I don't know how you interject that soul into people. But at a certain point, because you're not stupid, you just need to realize that even if you don't think something's wrong or it doesn't feel wrong, it still is wrong, and therefore you should not do it.
Hmm.
I've attempted to adopt exactly that philosophy into things, and for that reason, I've not, committed much more in the way of crime since.
All right. Well, what are you doing now?
Are
you a publicist? Because that's really the only gig for you at this point. Yeah, it's only job where not having a soul actually helps. You have to put it on your resume, but check that box.
I'm in sales.
Oh no!
Perfect. And are you doing okay? You don't have a girlfriend or anything, do you?
Well, that's a whole other part to the whole thing.
You still see prostitutes, right?
No, I don't. After that whole episode, I came back to high school, was an odd sort of celebrity, which was a little awkward.
Because of the bank robbery?
Or the dog shooting?
Yeah, I'm in a small town, so, I mean, that was a big deal. I ended up with a girlfriend through high school that I was very connected to. I was in love with her. We thought we were getting married, yada, yada,
now,
yada.
Hold on a second, Errol, though. How does this work? I know maybe the law enforcement isn't what's depicted on the CSI series, but here's the whole thing, as I understand it. First off, this is a federal crime, robbing
a bank.
And whether you actually brandish a gun or you just write it on a piece of paper and slide it across to the teller, either way, it's 20 years. I mean, it's big trouble. It's not even something, it's not 3 years, it's 20 years. How is it that you could speak freely about this for so many months and people knew about it and yet it never caught up to you?
Yeah.
I didn't discuss this with very many people. I only told, I had an accomplice in it. And also I told one of my sisters. I, once again, Mormon family, so they're Sipe kids.
Errol. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you talked to about it. You said you were a celebrity and known for it.
This is after I had been prosecuted and incarcerated and returned to the... I was let out, so I went back
for the bank robbery?
Right, yeah. I went to jail for about 3.5 months.
For the bank robbery?
Yes.
Oh, you did get busted for the bank robbery.
I did. I thought I'd mentioned that. I'm sorry.
No.
See? How'd that happen? How'd you get busted?
Well, like I said, we were Mormon. One of my sisters, I have three older, found out about the...
Drew, don't you want to know if he's Mormon? Yeah. She found out. She ratted you out.
She did. 3 months later, after I'd done the job.
Who did she go to?
She went to our bishop, which is like a pastor in Mormon lingo.
You a Mormon?
She went to your bishop.
She went to my bishop. My bishop contacted a member of the police force that was in our church. He, they set it up so that it would look like I'd turned myself in and allowed me to do that.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, well.
And were they more lenient on you because of that?
Somewhat. I received the standard sentence for second-degree robbery.
Did you have to rat out your partner?
Well, my sister did that for me, so I didn't need to worry about it.
Stooley. Dropped a dime on his ass. Wow. this guy must have been thrilled with your sister.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you do? I'm sure the church stepped in and tried to get you to do some rigorous work. Did you do any of it?
Well, The thing was, as soon as this all occurred, obviously I was in a juvenile prison for a period of time, mm-hmm. and, you know, 3.5 months, and I was the smart-mouthed white kid in there, which didn't go over so well, so I kind of had to develop a hardened shell in there, and after I got out, going back to just normal, happy suburban life was not exactly in the cards mm-hmm. mentally.
Wow. All right. I don't even know where we're at anymore.
Oh, yeah, nothing.
Such a fascinating tale. All right, so listen, Errol.
What was his question?
Yeah, watching violent porn. All right. That's
been part of the problem.
Yeah.
That has not helped things.
Okay.
But that's not the total picture here.
Yeah, well, it's convoluted and confusing. I'll feed to that. At any rate, my father had a lot of pornography around when I was very young. I was exposed to it. I've taken quite a liking to it. And at this point, you know, once I'm older, I'm relatively ashamed that this is one of the things that I, you know, take pleasure in. And I've never acted on this in a serious way, but...
On the scale of things that you've told us you've done, it's the only thing that doesn't sort of register off the chart. You know what I mean? In terms of onerous activities.
Yeah.
This one, he's keeping to himself. It's, you know, not something we should be, like, indulging in.
All
but
right.
Compared to what he does otherwise, that's not even...
Well... I'll assess Errol and say that for a 22-year-old, he's sure seen a lot. Number one, he's definitely not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that IQ can contain the impulses.
Mm.
And I think that Errol has a desire not to be a bad person.
Yeah, he describes some guilt and things that he's capable of saying these things are wrong. What he lacks is empathy. He has to understand how other people feel.
But I do think 22, 23, these couple of years, if he doesn't take the wrong turn off and puts together a few good years, it'll become a rhythm and it'll be easy at a certain point. I mean, here's the whole thing. Acting sane will eventually make you sane.
Acting as if.
As if. Act as if you're not a criminal. Act as if you're not addicted to porn. Just act as if.
Right.
And now you can get therapy. You can read books. You can go to all the 12-step programs and all that's fine. But if you're in your heart of hearts, you're a thief, but you never steal anything, then you're not a thief.
But
you're practically not a thief.
Unless he changes how he relates and feels about other people and himself in relation to people. It's that,
well,
that,
he's got to work on it, but yeah. I would argue that first thing is containing. Because
once you
start sliding, it just gets slippery and you head down.
In a way, the pornography is part of that same slippery slope.
Okay. All right. Errol, check back with us. You're an interesting case. Richard?
Yeah.
20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Just say what's up, Adam, Dr. Drew, and the great Rev Run in the building. I wanted to ask the Reverend about his new show, Run's House, and about the new CD.
Oh, what's the question? What about it?
Yeah,
it's a good show.
Uh-huh, and I wanted to ask you the motivation for all this. All of a sudden, it's been a while since you've been really doing anything other than, you know, your activities with Churchill and everything, motivational and everything.
I believe seasons changed. The doors kind of opened up, and a lot of people asked me to do a lot of things. You know, P. Diddy came to me, said, yo, he saw me in St. Bart's. He's like, you are a reality show, money. You are a reverend. You are a rapper. You're a father. And I just looked the part, and then Russell looked at me and said, I'm hearing these rhymes you write, and that's my brother.
Right.
And everybody just started gathering around. A lot of times when you... are something, people start noticing it, and then they give you a venue to do it in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the green light came for MTV or not, I was going to raise my family and be a rapping reverend type of guy. But what happens is, when you do it good enough, people mm-hmm. want to have you share it with the world. So a lot of people go asking for stuff, and people aren't interested because you haven't become it yet. I was already, a reality star. This was already... in place, and then people started making big offers because I was doing it so well.
You're older than your brother Russell, is that
I'm
correct?
Younger. I'm 7 years younger.
Oh, is your brother that old?
Mm-hmm.
Are you that young?
Yes, I'm 40. I'm 41. He's 48.
Wow. So you can't tell with brothers.
Right. They well, we look
age.
Alike.
Everyone yeah. looks alike. No yeah, one gets yeah. old. Yeah. What is that,
we just
bro?
Both look young.
White people look like hell when they hit 40. They come undone. They get all bleached out. They're a mess. And lines. You see those blonde chicks? Mm. They were all those chicks from all those shows you used to watch. They used to be hot. And pow, they just hit a wall. You're black. You just, you're
lucky.
40 your whole life. You're 40 when you're 13. You're 40 when you're 80.
It's true.
It's all over the map. Drew, that's the whole thing. I like to be white from zero to about 40, and then I'm going black. And at a certain point, I might go Asian. That's my thing. When I get over 90, that's when I go Asian.
Marcus wants to say when you go Mexican.
I'll give a summer when I'm 39. So, you know, just to have a good time before I turn 40. You know what I mean? Like a big party. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Big, long party. Out on the beach. Then I go 40. Then I go black. Then I go 85. I go Asian. And that's the whole thing. I become the old man with the beard, you know, and I'm thinking.
Wisdom.
And everyone thinks I'm smart. No one will call a 90-year-old Chinese guy stupid. I don't care if he's wearing a Dunska wind-up beanie. I don't care. You're a genius. You know so much.
You go blind.
Yeah, what is that? Oh, by the way, when you're white and you're 90, you're dumb. When you're Chinese and you're 90, oh, the wisdom. The wisdom. Wisdom? The guy's been out in a rice paddy his entire life. Never read one book. Why does he get so much wisdom?
Richard Pryor said, you don't get to be old being no fool.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means, but I agree with it. All right, Richard, speaking of Richard Pryor, what's up?
So he asked his question.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Thanks.
You cool, Richard?
Yeah, I'm cool.
All right, make a little room. We're going to hear something else from the Rev tonight.
Right now.
Yeah, I like to mix that up. I'm trying to think. I think I like to go 0 to 10 is a blonde girl. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Scandinavian. You go Scandinavian.
You're breaking this down. I'm interested in
blonde
this.
Girl.
This is fly.
I go, I think I go 10 to 20 is like an Italian type guy. Mm. You know, dark eyes and swarthy. Mm. Mediterranean look. And 20 to 40, I just goes white guy. And then I go black at 40 and I hang there.
75.
But you keep the money from the white man dig.
That's right.
I thought
that's right. I socked away the money I got.
I figured
for being blonde.
Part of the strategy.
Yeah, because when you got blue eyes, you get a check in the mail every month.
I was checking. I felt when you said from 20, you said, okay, you're going to get paid and then go be black and look young with the money.
Yeah.
Instead of the wrinkles in the money.
No. I take the nubile young black skin at 40, and now I got some money in my pocket.
Exactly.
And I run amok. Like Byron Allen. I'm up at the Playboy Mansion every week, having a good time. Then when I get to 80, I'm trying to think, you know what? I'll tell you what, Marcus. I'll go Mexican from 75 to 80 just to see how I like it. Simple life. Do a lot of fishing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sleeping.
Yeah, when it gets hot. I don't have air conditioning, so when it gets hot, I gotta go down.
You're going hard, man.
I take a nap when it gets hot outside, but it's a simple life. I enjoy my family. You know what I mean?
Then 80?
80, that's when I go Chinese.
So people can say
Chinese.
Good things about you.
Yeah, I go Chinese, and I get the respect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people just sort of wait for me like I've come down from the mountain with some news. Everything I say.
Chinese man or a little skinny?
Hey, I know skinny.
Well, you could become Jamaican with the dreads and have lots of wisdom, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I could handle the dreads out in the San Fernando Valley with the heat and everything. No, I go Chinese. Yeah, skinny, but with big calves.
Okay.
Well-defined calves. Yeah, where they go, wow, look, that guy's got nice calves for an 80-year-old guy. Yeah, that's the guy I am. And I have the long beard. I stroke it when I think. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not the beard. I mean, I masturbate when I think. Mm-hmm. And people respect me. That's all. I'm a community leader.
You're blind?
People know me. One eye.
Okay.
But
cataract?
But still, a lot of people say I see better than those with 20/20 vision. Yeah,
white,
I have that thing.
Thing.
I have that thing where my eyes are white. I smoke a long pipe. There's not opium in it. Do you know what I mean? I think I got this pretty well worked out.
All right.
Now, I didn't tell you, though. That's 80. That's just 80 to 95.
Uh-oh.
95 to 115, I go as a crazy woman from the Ukraine.
Oh, yeah.
Huge nose and the sea hag Sehag hair, you know.
Where she looks the same upside down as Rez.
She doesn't look any different. I have no teeth, and I chew on my own lips. I just chew on myself.
And we're babushka.
The babushka thing tied around the thing, and I'm slumped over, but still people are scared of me. You know what I mean?
You talk to yourself.
I chase people away. I use a cane. It doesn't seem like I need it to walk. I use it to swing and chase.
But
and
you're
I'm
fat
yelling
again.
At people.
You're fat again now.
Yeah, the only people that get off the lawn constantly. That's my thing. And that's how I go. And I hate everyone, but I'm really good at my own family. Come eat, eat, come eat. And then I go out in the lawn and start screaming at everyone again. Get off the lawn. Yes?
Yes.
And I'm cooking. There's a pot going. Never stop.
Black?
Never stops.
A black pot.
Big black pot. Big iron.
Kettle.
Big
kettle.
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 Don't wash it. It's got oil in there from 1933. And I just keep going with that big
from
skillet.
The Great Patriotic War.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I have osteoporosis. I can barely move, but I lift 70 pounds worth of goulash in an iron pot and drag it into the other room every day.
Right.
Yes?
Perfect.
Perfect. All right. We'll take a quick break. Rev Run here. And we'll come back, hear something off the new CD, all that, after this.
Oh, yeah. Everybody now.
Yes, I will be right back.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rev Run is here tonight from legendary act Run DMC. I think we're going to be voting on some things pretty soon. I don't know if it's that way in the rest of the country, but certainly out here in California. But when it does come time to cast your vote for any proposition, I'm not going to tell you which one to vote for because I never know. It's just the more commercials you see for one, you know to vote against that one.
Right. How about the more commercials against something?
Well, then you go the other way. Whenever you see the more commercials, when you see the more commercials for something, you go the other way. That you're not going to get burned 9 times out of 10. And when you see the ones that just sound insane, like when they do that one where it's like, Governor Schwarzenegger wants cops and firemen to go away.
Right.
You know, it's like, right. What? What?
He wants what?
He wants what? He wants cops, teachers, and firemen to disappear.
He wants your kids to have teachers.
He wants your children to be raised by coyotes. And no cops, and no firemen, and no teachers. Vote no on props. Whenever you hear that, you just go the other way. Because somebody's telling you something that ain't true. That's it. Whoever has the most money and is going to throw it at a proposition one way or the other, you go the opposite way. Because when you got somebody with a bunch of money trying to tell you to do something, you go the other way.
Because the only reason they're doing it is to protect their money.
They're trying to protect their money, yeah. And they're making an investment. Yeah. And that's how you know.
I like that.
That's how you know with anything, any campaign especially. The more commercials you hear for prop whatever, vote against prop. The more commercials you hear against prop whatever, vote for it. That's how you know.
Bloomberg is spending some money in New York, I tell you that.
About
everything.
His own thing? Or
yeah, I don't know. I think he's either promoting himself or... Well, he's spending a lot of money, put it that way.
Just vote against whatever you see the most of. Sarah?
Hello?
25?
What's
up?
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. What's happening?
I am a heroin addict. I've been smoking heroin for the last almost 2 years now.
Smoking heroin?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, according to Prop 75, if Schwarzenegger has his way, you'll be raising Drew's children. That's what Prop 75 is. He wants heroin addicts to raise other people's kids.
You're a heroin addict. What's the question, Sarah?
Yes. Basically, my question is I was reading, I'm very much interested in getting treatment, and I was told by a friend that there is something called Ibogaine.
There is no easy, Sarah, if there were some easy and magic way to treat heroin addiction, it would be adopted immediately.
Wow.
Ibogaine has been studied, been around for a long time. It's not for withdrawal. It's to block sort of the drive to use. It does actually do something. And what I've observed, and I've treated a number of patients who've been exposed to this product, it seems to drop, to reduce the drive to use for about 3 months, and then everyone goes back after that time.
All right,
and
well, the price, 3 months.
The price is, though, these people have personality changes. It is a powerful hallucinogen. That
really?
Ugh. that seems to cause something called excitotoxicity, which is a brain damaging effect.
Really?
And mood disturbances, all the stuff we typically see from lots of LSD or ecstasy.
So you own stock in this company, Drew?
Right. I love it. Okay. No, it's just, it's an interesting idea, needs to be further studied, but at this point, no way can it be recommended. So you need to go, you need to set aside about 3 to 6 months and get treatment, Sarah.
Hold on, look at the commercial. There's cops. There's firemen.
Hang on.
There's school teachers. Hold on. They're going to tell us what they're out of.
Nurses.
I got a nurse in there. Come on.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
We're going the other way.
There's Schwarzenegger. He wants nurses, cops, and firemen to be killed and thrown in a mass grave. Yeah.
But he wants your car to be driving on lots of gas.
No, that's another commercial.
That's what I was thinking.
True. They went to another commercial.
You're right.
All right. So listen, Sarah.
You need to put aside several months. You need to be treated. It's going to take some time. Heroin addiction takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of focus.
Right. And my another question is I also, like many other addicts, I don't have a lot of money to set aside for treatment. So is there some other option that I would have as far as...
How much do you spend a day on heroin?
Sorry?
How much do you spend every day on heroin?
I don't know, daily. Like, probably I would say about... $500 to $700 a month.
Okay, for $800 a month, you can enroll in a sober living anywhere in town.
Really?
Yep, that includes food. You're good to go. So there.
Hold
you
on, I want to say this. I want to do this one. You can't afford not to get sober.
Right, so you
I like that blowhard.
Do you have insurance?
I don't have insurance.
Okay, so try to call around various sober living. See if you can get somewhere that does a little detox.
Yeah,
and then you're good. You're good
Drew,
to go.
What is there? What is different?
Check out Sister Ada's or Casa de Las Amigas. Those are two places.
Okay.
Yeah, well, they got a great margarita over at Casa de Las Amigas. Oh, kitchen open till 12, amigos. I've seen the sign. Hey, Drew.
Hey,
what is Casa de Las Amigas? I'd be pissed if they didn't have some good Mexican food at that place. By the way, when I'm Mexican for 4 months, from 39 to. Wait, I said I was going for a few years?
We got to go to La Cabanita.
I got
to
eat some good Mexican food. I'll tell you, man. That's my heroin, Mexican food, boy. How can you go wrong? You know, those people should be sued. Here's the thing. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a bunch of beef. We're going to marinate it. We're going to cook it over an open flame. Then we're going to put a bunch of tortillas and rice. We're going to melt cheese over the whole thing and put some mole sauce. And we're going to make a little guacamole. And here's a margarita. It's like, how can I not eat this? You know what I mean? Look, I don't care if you cannot stand the taste of tequila or alcohol. A margarita is still good. There's nothing you can eat at a Mexican restaurant that won't make you fat. Do you realize beer is like dark, rich amber ale is the closest to locale at a Mexican restaurant that you can do.
Right.
But I mean, can't you taste? My mouth is watering right now just thinking about the rice and the cheese melting over and the little beans melted on top of the cheese, the chips dipping into the salsa.
The whole thing.
Oh, I'll get the corn tortillas and start sort of making
it.
Okay.
The tortillas are even heavy. Just the chips that they put on the table at first.
There's nothing that ain't,
nothing that's not fried, fatty.
Listen, you grab a toothpick. It's rolled in cinnamon and sugar and lard. They have
and fried.
They have deep fried toothpicks.
And fried.
Deep fried toothpicks. That's what happened. I went to my dentist. He's like, "Holy crap, you need a root canal. You've been using too many Mexican toothpicks."
It's the only sort of ethnic food on earth that has fried ice cream.
I know.
Wow.
Ice cream. And it's like, fantastic.
I could see him in the lab in Mexico. Boss, the ice cream's pretty not bad enough for you. We'll deep fry it. Really? It's a bunch of just sugar
just
and cholesterol.
Put some more sugar on top.
More sugar.
Then deep fry it.
More sugar, and then deep fry it again, and then put it on top of a shell. Put a shell. Deep fry something. Would you deep fry? Are you deep frying? They must yell at each other all the time in the background. I don't see you deep frying, and the guy's like, "We're out of tortillas. Throw your shoe in there. Just keep deep frying." Man. I know.
Ice cream.
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
And here's the thing, too, and they're smart because they're not all over the road from a culinary standpoint. It's like, you get your choice.
What you
want beef, beans, rice, tortillas, and cheese, or you went to cheese, beans, rice, tortilla, beef, and it's all right. Same meal. Yep. What do you do
chicken,
for breakfast?
Beef, lamb.
Breakfast? Oh, we do some beef and some beans and some eggs and some tortillas and some cheese. Oh, what's lunch? Oh, lunch? Oh, it's tortillas, cheese, beef, and then rice and beans. Oh, what's dinner? Oh, well, dinner. Now, that's a departure. That's beans, cheese, rice, tortillas, and beef.
And mole.
And then we're going to deep fry pinata and I'm gonna put up your ass. That'll be dessert. Filled with Abba Zabba's. There you go. How do those people live past 30? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, come on. Let's get some Mexican food. Let's wrap it up.
Let's do a song.
Pitcher margaritas. A little sugary.
A song.
Put the salt. I like the way they add the salt to the margarita thing. It's like, well, yeah, sure, we're giving the guy diabetes with the sugar, but I think we could raise it if we gave him salt, too. Well,
the alcohol drives pressure up, but we'll give him a stroke with
salt.
We'll give him a stroke with the salt.
Yeah, make the rock salt. Yeah, it's awesome. All right, let's hear something from Rev Run, shall we? Yeah.
Drop it like it's hot.
Oh, man, I got to get some Mexican food. That's it. I'm going off. Wait, Drew, we're doing Mexican this weekend.
La Cabanita, come on.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I do know.
That Crystal Method brings in that food all the time.
Awesome. Oh. All right, let's go. Let's go now.
I've got a gift certificate.
All right, you're busting it out. We're going Saturday. Rev Run in studio tonight. Home Sweet Home, name of the new song off the Distortion CD. And it goes a little something like this.
Jesus. Let's go. Because we're sweet home.
Everybody, Rev Run in the studio tonight.
Distortion out now, today.
As we speak, Tuesday. We'll, I got to do something, Drew. I got to do something with my mouth.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, blood clots and lungs. What? Think about restoring foreskin. I like that. Jaden wants to put his foreskin back.
We'll take John Quick first.
No. Yeah. All right. And then Jaden after this.
Hello, who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rev Run is in studio tonight. Of course, from the world famous Run DMC. Now doing his own thing. Got himself a CD, which dropped today. He's going to be on Jay Leno tonight.
Yep.
Show. tonight. Distortion, name of the CD. And let's go back to the phones. I'll be fast with John because it might get boring. John?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
25. What's up?
I have a question. I've been doing exercise for, you know, all my life. I was a bodybuilder before. A couple of months ago, I got back from work. I couldn't breathe right. And then I ended up in the hospital for blood clots in my lungs.
Nice.
I was smoking a lot, and I was a little bit overweight, about 30, 40 pounds.
Taking steroids?
Excuse me?
Were you taking steroids?
Before, yes. Since I was about 16.
That
cause
that?
Yeah, it can cause that.
It can.
16,
mm-hmm.
17, but not at the moment when I had the blood clots. I mean, when I had the blood clots, it was like at least 3 years since I had taken steroids.
All right.
And I go, you know, I'm taking Coumadin. I'm on 5 milligrams a day.
They're blood thinner?
Blood thinner, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Blood thinners, yeah. I don't drink. I don't smoke anymore.
What's your question?
Drinking will thin it out a little,
yeah,
won't
that's
it?
True. What's your question?
Start drinking.
So, what would cause blood clots? They have no clue at all. I mean, they check my legs for bruises. They checked everything.
No, they don't check for bruises. They check for blood clots in the veins in your legs, and that's probably where they came from. Though they can
move up to the lung.
They come from the pelvis too.
Mm-hmm.
Your age with your steroid history, the thing you want to make sure of is that there's not a cancer hiding, because that's the one
that will cause that.
Yes, cause hypercoagulability. Absolutely, cancer can.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be followed by your doctors and be checked regularly to make sure this isn't the first manifestation of a more serious issue.
All right, let's talk to Jaden now, who wants to have his foreskin put back on. Jaden,
hey, what's going on?
Do you have the old foreskin?
No, I do not.
Okay, because Drew's mom has hit her his under a pillow, right, Drew, you were saying?
Mummified.
Oh, mummified. Where is it?
Really? A Coptic jar.
It's a Coptic jar. It's filled with formaldehyde. It actually looks bigger the way,
through the
distortion, yeah. I would go ahead and take it off the top of the fridge. Someone's going to knock that off. Jaden?
Yeah.
How do you plan to restore it?
Well, I just met this guy like 2.5 years ago, and he's my boyfriend now, and he's uncut, and I think it's totally hot. And I just was looking online at stuff, and I bumped into a couple websites on there with I didn't even think you could even have the possibility of doing anything like that, and I saw it on there. And
How do they do it? Because I've heard of a few techniques.
Mostly they just kind of stretch it out.
Try to stretch it out.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
well, I mean,
you become
surgically do it, and you can.
Rev, what do you think?
How do they surgically do it?
Are there better things to preoccupy his time, you think?
Well, that's a leading question.
Just saying.
I'm going to leave this up to you, Doc.
Just saying.
Well, here's the thing. You can stretch out what you have, because some people get left with more than others. And let's not work, Drew, let's not discuss the ramifications of this yet, or whether it's a worthwhile endeavor.
Right.
Let's just try to approach it from a technical standpoint.
Yeah, it's easier for some than others.
Some guys seem to get left with more, and then some guys have nothing to work with.
Right.
So if you have nothing to work with, then what do you have to work with, Jaden?
Oh, I'm pretty good down there, I'm not.
No, is there anything that, is it easy to stretch something? Is there something easy to pull?
What a burden it is for me not to have anyone ever know what I'm talking about.
I don't have to Uber or anything like that ever.
Oh, jeez.
Hey.
So, yeah.
Jaden Collins?
Yeah.
Jaden, we're not one of your cornhole buddies. We're just asking about your penis.
No, I
understand. Okay.
No, definitely.
Do you have much foreskin left?
Yeah.
Or is it almost all gone?
No, yeah, I do. I mean, I've seen different techniques that you can do that. I haven't really. I mean,
there's medical tape I think you can use to stretch it out and stuff. Here's the thing, though. That just means you're nuts, Jaden.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Hey, Jaden, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm twice as smart as you are. Listen to me. Every one of these guys that becomes obsessed with this is just nuts or super angry at their parents. It's one or the other, or possibly both. So if you want to join the ranks of the insane who are angry at their parents, go right ahead. You will get nothing from this experience.
I'm not. People go and they get, tons of weight loss, surgically.
And you
can't. Yeah, that's it. Like someone's morbidly obese and going to die of heart failure in a few months, so they go ahead and get a procedure to correct that. That's the exact same thing as a guy tying fishing weights to what's left of his foreskin and dragging him around work all day. Yeah, you guys are the same.
Anyway, there is some good.
Why stop at the morbidly obese? Why don't you just say, look, our brave soldiers over in Iraq, when they take shrapnel, should we just let them bleed to death? Or how about a surgeon comes in and puts them back together?
Well, anyway, there is some good reason not a key to get rid of this foreskin, not the least of which are all the mechanical problems, the stenosis and tearing, all kind of stuff. But now it looks as though STDs are significantly less at risk for the circumcised male.
They hide.
The HPV, hide the HIV.
Lurk there, and then they pounce. Hey, Jaden, that's enough. Stop it. Focus on other things, would you? Look, everybody, you want to know what? I'll tell you what insane is. Almost the definition of insanity is when you focus and spend lots of time on stuff that doesn't matter.
That's right. True.
Such as, I remember once when I was working construction for a living, I went into a guy's apartment. We're redoing this condemned apartment building, and he had himself, you know, the milk containers, milk boxes that have the missing kids on them?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He had every panel cut out from every half-gallon-sized milk carton, and he had it stacked up high to the ceiling and wide. I mean, years and years and years of missing kids. He would cut out the panel. My guess is he went through 2 half-gallons a week, and every week he cut out the panel with the missing kid on it, and he stacked it in his apartment. Now, that is a huge waste of time, but that's what you do when you're nuts. That's an example of being super nuts and doing something. But there are lesser versions of that. Just obsessing on your foreskin is enough. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Absolutely.
Nuts as cutting the kids out.
Hand washing, pulling your hair, all that stuff.
So right. Now, here's the deal. You wash your hands 8 times a day. You got a little. A little issue. You wash it 80 times a day. You're nuts.
Mm-hmm. It's a problem.
That's all it is. You show me a person that doesn't waste a second of time with irrational behavior or irrational activities, I'll show you a sane person. Mm-hmm. You have to obsess on things.
Speaking of obsessing, quickly, Joe, before we get around time, I want to stress this one thing.
All right.
Joe, 25?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right. Well, my question is, I was an ex-heroin addict for years from like 17 till 21. Yep. I'm now 25, been clean for a while. I now have hepatitis C. I just found out about it probably a week ago.
What's your question?
Well, they want to put me on interferon.
Thank God. It's gonna save your life.
Well, see, the thing is since then, I own a business now, and I've actually come pretty far from being a heroin addict to what I do now. But to go on the interferon, all I hear is people get sick
I have a friend who's on it.
You're about 3 to 6 months on it, and you feel like you have the flu many times.
I have a friend on it. There's a lot of dry mouth
feel pretty fluey, but you're talking about avoiding end-stage liver disease and hepatic cancer, which is what's going to happen if you don't get rid of this virus.
You're not going to be able to run that business from the grave, my friend, unless you do some sort of, phone system or intercom. I would imagine you couldn't just yell
from the grave.
Well, I'm not saying he's gonna be dead. I just mean from the grave.
You haven't seen The Corpse Bride yet.
No. We're gonna take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, that's it. That's the show, everyone. I want to thank Run Rev for coming in here tonight.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it, too. It's
you say it fast. It says Rev Run.
Rev Run. Yeah, Rev Run. Rev Run for coming in here. Name of the CD, Distortion, out as we speak. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Okay, I suppose you want to know, where's Dad, right? Dad's dead. Dad.
Picking up speed.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.